Bridge Boys.
Wait, can you sample us doing that for the and like take our vocals and like.
Welcome to Bridge Boys. This is the super spooky Halloween edition.
Ooh.
I am your host, Jeremy, and this is my co-host, Andreas.
Hey, everyone.
Today, we are talking to you.
Oh, apparently it's not even coming out on Halloween.
Today, we will talk to you about...
Today we're going to talk to you about a super spooky concept of bridge. Thus far in the podcast, if you've been a loyal listener for the last three episodes, you know, we will take a specific bridge and we'll break down the history and the structure and some cool stories about it. And for this week, we're going to change things up a little bit. And so we're actually going to talk about a couple bridges. And really the goal here is to talk about this common mythology called a crybaby bridge. I hadn't heard about this until a couple weeks ago, and Andreas was actually telling me about it. And so I'm pretty excited for you guys to hear about this whole world of spookiness and mystery just going on in all the random bridges around us.
Yeah, I got goosebumps already. So for those of you who like spooky stories, it might be time to dim the lights a little bit, turn on the fireplace, and get ready for some spookiness.
Get in the bubble bath, get a little glass of red wine. Oh, wait, no, this is a scary story, not a...
Right. And then the axe murderer busts in the room. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, yeah, pretty interesting mythology, I guess you could say. But this idea of a crybaby bridge came across, and I thought it was like an instance of one bridge where the spookiness goes on. But this is like a, there's like common elements to a crybaby bridge, and more than one exists. So normally the myth comes from a small rural community in America, but there are different aspects of like this crybaby bridge. There can be multiple facets of how it works out. So the first is this sound of when you go visit the bridge of someone wailing or screaming and crying. And you can, there have been documents of, or it's been documented that people have heard some type of ghoulish scream coming from that area. There's another idea of that the mother, there's this common story that a mother threw the baby off the bridge, killing the baby. But it really seems to be more generally about bridges where many deaths have occurred. Normally, a woman and her baby are involved, sometimes not. But now people say that they see ghosts and other hauntings going on in the bridge. Some spooky stuff.
So both Andreas and I have, each of us have one bridge in particular we're going to talk about. And I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty excited for what we're going to talk about. Like, I put a little effort into writing out a spooky story based off of all the research we could do on the bridges.
Spook me. I'm ready.
Yeah. So the one I'm going to talk about is, it's called, very aptly named, the Screaming Bridge at Maud Hughes Road in Ohio. For all the people who are not driving right now and can look up pictures of the bridge, it's M-A-U-D space H-U-G-H-E-S, Screaming Bridge. And so you just take a look at that and you can see, all right, I see some spooky vibes. So it's located in Liberty Township, Ohio, which is an affluent suburb in Cincinnati, which means they're Bengals fans, which is unfortunate for them. So it's outside of Cincinnati, and it's this bridge actually is probably the most simple bridge that we'll talk about on the podcast, structurally speaking. So it's just a simple beam bridge with reinforced concrete decks and structural walls. So if you're looking at the picture of the bridge, you'll notice that there's a couple vertical elements, and instead of columns, they just extend the concrete the full width of the bridge, and so they're structural walls. This is a pretty common railroad overpass crossing bridge, very efficient to build and easy to use with reinforced concrete. The largest span is 33 feet, which is the center span, which crosses over two railroads. And the railroad, there, so the railroad below it is the Norfolk Southern Main Line. And one of the things that makes this bridge unique compared to the other ones we've been talking about is that it's the first bridge that we've talked about that's not over any sort of roadway or water. It's actually just over a railroad.
Great choice. So that's a good choice.
Yeah, so it's very much not like a publicly viewed bridge. It's very much just like a utilitarian infrastructure bridge that's kind
functionality. It's a functional bridge.
So now, let me get into some of the stories behind this bridge. So there are a few stories why they call it the Screaming Bridge, and I'll just take you through the most popular one, if you will. So it's a classic car breakdown tale. The summer of 69, we have a young high school football player and his beautiful girlfriend. They've been in love for the last 6 months, and they're going out for an evening joyride to go to their favorite makeout spot.
Oh, man.
And it just so happens that makeout spot's on the other side of the Norfolk Southern Mainline Railroad. And as they're driving over the bridge, the car breaks down.
Oh, no.
Dead center on the bridge. So then our young stud decides to make horror movie mistake number one and decides to venture off on his own and split up with his girlfriend.
Why would he split up with his girlfriend?
Well, I guess he thought, I can go out, try to find someone to help us, and you can stay at the car in case somebody comes by and they can help you out. It's not like, maybe they didn't realize, oh, we're in the middle of this creepy railroad and that anyone who's going to come by at 2 a.m. is probably not going to be a chiller.
Right.
So for whatever dumbass reason, he leaves her behind and goes off on his own. And after being unable to find anybody to help them out, he goes out for like an hour and a half or so. He comes back
and sees
that she's gone.
Yeah, of course. It's been an hour and a half.
I mean, he had to run around. He was a lineman, so he wasn't super fast.
Right, right. Okay.
And so he gets back and his girlfriend is nowhere to be found, but he does see her purse is still in the car, which is weird. So it's maybe she wasn't like kidnapped, or maybe they weren't trying to steal her money or anything, but she's gone and there's no signs of a struggle. And so he goes around, he's like yelling for his girlfriend. Unfortunately, they didn't name our young protagonists at all, but you can just imagine.
We can give them names.
Susie. Yeah, we'll call her Susie and let's call him Roger.
Okay, Roger and Suze.
So Roger and Suze. Suze, where are you at, girl? So he's calling out for her, no response, and he's starting to freak out a little bit. And then he looks back at the car and he notices that there's a rope tied to it. And that rope is pretty taut. And he looks at the rope and it's leading over the edge of the bridge. And he follows the rope to the edge of the bridge, leans over the railing, sees his beloved Suze hanging from her neck, swinging back and forth in the gentle breeze.
I just got chills, dude. I can visualize that.
And so Roger, overcome with despair, decides he can't live with himself knowing that he abandoned his girlfriend to her death.
Oh, no.
And so he throws himself over the edge of the bridge, screaming and wailing to join his girlfriend's fate.
Onto the train track?
Onto the train track.
Oh, my God.
And so young Roger is... his ghost is still there, screaming and wailing at whoever drives over the bridge.
That must be a deep guttural scream if he was a lineman.
Wow, I screamed so loud that it made the guitar strings do things.
I think my ears are bleeding.
Sorry to our fans for that. Yeah, so...
So not guttural.
Yeah, it's a wail. It's not like a... It's a... I mean, this dude just saw his girlfriend hanging. Oh, man.
I know. I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah. So there's a couple other variations on there that there was one of them has an assailant waiting there for the boyfriend and murders him. There's another version where the couple actually gets in a fight and one of them pushes the other and the guy falls off the bridge and then she feels so bad that she jumps in after him.
Oof.
But either way, I think the first one is a classic Americana story of heartbreak and death.
Yeah.
So there's other stories out there, but that's kind of the main one. And so in addition to our feature story that I just shared with you all, this stretch of railway has seen its fair share of, you know, weird shit that's happened throughout history. So there was apparently in 1909, there was a big steam-powered train explosion that was like within half a mile of where this bridge would end up being. And it killed 2 train engineers and injured 3 others.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there are some other supernatural events. There's a few like sightings of phantom trains.
What?
Like trains that are rolling by, but then they like disappear into the mist.
It's probably like a funnel cloud they hear. They're probably about to get hit by a tornado. I mean, they're in Ohio. I feel like they can occur there. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't want to poke holes in your spooky stories. I'm sorry.
I don't really know what a phantom train is. I'm thinking of like a phantom pirate ship going by and like no signs of life.
Oh, like Pirates of the Caribbean, the black sail. So dope.
Yeah. Just like a train with no conductor, no horn, no passengers, ooh, just slowly rolling through.
Ooh. I think that they did a movie like that, didn't they?
Is it the Polar Express?
No, I love that movie though. I used to watch it all the time with my dad.
Shout out Tom Hanks.
Shout out Jim Pappas, my dad. Great guy.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Jim Pappas.
This podcast brought to you by Jim Pappas Real Estate. Looking for a house in South Florida?
100% no sinkholes guaranteed.
Yeah.
And there's a big asterisk there. Yeah. And then there's some people who have claimed to see some floating electrical orbs near the bridge.
What?
Which they thought was spirits roaming around, but it could also be
aliens
related to some of the phantom fogs that roll into the area.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so those are just a few examples of some of the weird and supernatural events that have happened around this bridge. And so since then, they've actually went and demoed it out. They replaced it in 2014/2015 because they're like, too many people are getting it up to hoodlum shit here. We need to get rid of this ghost. But there's a camp out there that thinks because they replaced it, they angered young Roger.
Oh, no.
And now he's going to come back extra hard. So if you're named Roger and you live near Cincinnati, Ohio, you might want to stay away.
Or if you know someone named Roger, they might be a ghost.
Yeah, chances are that anyone in your life named Roger, they're a ghost.
It's a good ghost name.
Roger the Raging Ghost.
If I met a ghost, yeah, his name would be Roger for sure.
So yeah, that's my bridge.
Nice. That was great.
You know, Andres, I just wanted to let you know, I love having the opportunity to take a deep dive each week on a different bridge with you.
Dude, me too. This has been such an awesome experience, and I really love these types of podcasts where people just go really in on one subject for a while.
You know, I actually just started listening to this really cool podcast that does exactly that. It's called the Seabird Podcast.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued. What's up with it?
So each week, the hosts, Mike and John, interview a new person, and they talk about all sorts of wild stories, ranging from being lost at sea to car crashes and even near-death experiences.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. I'm super interested. Where can I check it out?
Just search Seabird wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Seabird. Seabird.
Awesome. I'm on it right now. To be fair, I didn't have the bridge I chose is very inconspicuous. There's not much information on it. It was actually really tough for me to even find a photo of it. But I thought that kind of was on brand for the episode because it's kind of spooky that people have all of these stories about this bridge, but I couldn't really find a photo. There's one where it was in deep forest and it had a wooden arch, which I thought actually looked pretty cool. So I think that's it. And this is in Port, I think you pronounce it Neches or Neches, Port Neches in Texas. So it's just east of Houston. Small, small town. There's this road there that is a pretty winding road that runs along the river. And there's this really small bridge. It's pretty funny because I want to tell you the stories about the bridge. There's not much engineering design because it's like right over the water, but that's kind of what gets into why it's so inconspicuous because apparently a woman was hung from the bridge, but other people say that it's not big enough. Or it doesn't clear the ground high enough for someone to hang themselves. So there's a lot of confusion going on in this bridge, which I think might mean someone's covering something up, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I will say, having worked in I've built a couple behavioral health centers, and they one of the main things that they design for in these behavioral health centers is anti-ligature.
Mm.
So they design things so that nobody can be unsupervised and hang themselves. And so from some of the codes I've seen there, people can have some very creative ways of hanging themselves in not very tall situations.
I guess you also don't need, like, you could also just, like, suffocate yourself and tie it to the bridge. You don't need to be, like...
Yeah. So since we've been talking so much about suicide right here, I think it's probably a good time for us to actually shout out the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. So if any of our listeners are struggling with depression or having thoughts of suicide, please, please don't hesitate to reach out to somebody. The phone number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, yeah, no. So like your story, there's different variations of this story about Sarah Jane Block or Sarah Jane. Apparently, she could have been named one thing or the other. So do you guys hear that dog barking? I need to close my window. 1 second.
It's the ghost of Sarah Jane.
So there are a ton of different stories, but it all revolves around Sarah Jane. So the biggest one is that the Union Army got involved. But legend has it that in the Civil War, during the Civil War, Sarah Jane's husband was fighting for the South. And it was just herself and the newborn that lived in their house in the woods alongside this river and by this bridge. So word got to her that Union soldiers were on their way to her house. So she ran down the trail to this small bridge and put the baby in a wicker basket and set the basket under the bridge so she could hide the baby so the Union Army wouldn't come and do something with it. This sounds like something Fox News would say. Sorry.
Yeah. Union Army is coming through and stealing babies.
Are you safe at home at night? I don't think so.
Those damn Democrats.
Those Yanks. So she hides the baby in a wicker basket under the bridge. And then she returned to her house and hung herself from a tree out front. So if you stand on the bridge at midnight, you can see a light flickering out in the woods that looks like a light of an old lantern. And you can hear Sarah Jane's moans and hollers as she's looking for her baby under the bridge.
Wait, so she just was like, I'm going to leave my baby under the bridge and kill myself.
This story, like, it definitely doesn't hold up, which is kind of funny because I found a article or like a comment to this article of someone like putting out bullet points of how this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, maybe she thought like the Union soldiers, if she really was like this afraid of them, she probably thought that they were going to come in and like rape and kill her and...
Yeah.
Her baby.
Right. Because maybe her husband was like a general or something, and he was pretty infamous of the Southern Army. So they were going to do something to her. So yeah, that's like a big one. I think it's an odd branding for the Union Army, but I mean, it was a time of war. So
yeah,
it could just be an old fashioned tale that Southerners still tell to their kids to like have that one last jab. I don't know. The second one's my favorite one. It said that this man, this crazed man, threw the baby into alligator-infested waters, which it looks like in that area there'd probably be a ton of alligators because it's on your way to Louisiana and it's a bit of a port area, so there's a lot of water. And then he just murdered Sarah Jane after he tossed the baby into alligator-infested waters. And it's said that she can be heard crying from the water when one stands on the bridge on hot summer nights.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah, it keeps going. It's like apparently she's headless and she's a headless ghost wandering the woods nearby. And she can be heard whispering Sarah Jane as she searches the forest with a lantern for her baby.
Sarah Jane. Damn, so this dude, man, that's crazy. He just takes this baby, throws it in alligator-infested water in front of the mom, and then murders her.
Yeah.
That sounds like they can make a true crime thing out of that.
Oh, like a True Detective episode?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch True Detective?
Yeah, I only watched like the first season, I think, and maybe only half of it.
Mm.
I'm pretty bad at like committing to an entire season.
I feel that. Things. That's cool. You're not like addicted to TV.
Yeah, it's just Instagram for me.
Mm. I'm off the juice. I deleted all my social media apps.
Dude, that's smart, man.
I feel, yeah, it's been since November. The election had like a really, as you can tell from some of my anecdotal comments, the election really got the best of me and I had to just not be involved with social media anymore.
I think that's like, honestly, so healthy.
I think so. People are like, aren't you like out of the loop on things? And I'm like, no, I mean, not really. I feel like there's this culture of, oh, I saw that when someone shares something with you and people kind of like take pride in like seeing it before somebody else. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a hater. I just feel like I don't need to be refreshed every 30 seconds on like what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm not like hating on it. I like totally get, like, I love Twitter. Twitter was like so for me is like where I got my news, where I caught up on current events. Like, I totally get it. I'm not trying to hate on it. It's just not for me, you know?
Yeah. I've dabbled in the non-social media life. Mm. And I feel like the time when I did that, like the times that I've done that have been very beneficial. Mm. It's crazy how much time you can spend just like scrolling through Instagram. Like,
yeah.
Like Twitter.
Twitter, you can really go somewhere weird.
Yeah. You find some like really weird conversations going on Twitter and you're like... Why am I reading this?
Yeah, so during the election, like, I never really used to tweet. I would retweet some stuff or, like, whatever. But I never just directly tweeted at someone. And then I started getting in arguments with people. Like, the app was spinning. It knew what would keep me on. So just feeding me this, like, hateful content that I just couldn't keep quiet about and would just, like... Yeah, it was bad.
Wow. So the algorithms like do that to you. So they know pisses you off and they just keep feeding it to you.
Well, they know what's going to keep you on the app longer. And it knew that by me seeing those types of comments and that content, I would react to it and retweet and comment and do all that. So it would feed me more of that to keep me on.
Dude.
Yeah, they're like completely controlling people. Yeah, there's a documentary on it. It's called, I forget what it's called. I'll send it to you.
Oh, I watched that one. Yeah, I know which one. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Ironically, I guess.
Yeah, they're doing the same exact thing. But anyways, sorry, I'm digressing. So there's another story that she just killed her baby. So this road is kind of creepy. Like, I saw photos of it. It's one of those classic country roads where it's winding and there's a lot of trees. And I did see that, and I don't want to be like called out by anyone from Port Nietzsche's because I've never been there and I didn't really see a lot of photos of this, but apparently there's a lot of like chain link fences and it just kind of gives off creepy vibes. So there's this other story that Sarah Jane was walking along the bridge one evening and she accidentally dropped her baby in the canal or like the river. And then she tried to save it, but it drowned. And then she was like super distraught over the loss of her baby, obviously, that she hung herself in a nearby tree. And then there's another variation of that she drowned the baby.
I feel like that is the most like realistic of the ghost stories.
Yeah.
Like I find it pretty unrealistic about like putting the baby underneath the bridge and hanging yourself in front of the army or like some alligator man killing your baby and then murdering you. But like a mother dropping her baby into a canal, watching it drown and then being so distraught and killing herself. That seems like cognitively I can
see that happening. I mean, I hope not, but... So yeah, those are like all of the renditions and then she's in that area haunting because the loss of her baby. So people say you can hear her like scream or moan at night.
So when you ever think of like ghost haunting places, do you ever think of them like doing mundane things? Like, do you think the ghosts still like try to pay their taxes?
Or, dude, like... I wish I remembered what comedian this was. They had such a funny bit on ghosts about how like they're from the 1800s or like the 1700s or earlier and they're haunting the house and the ghost is just in the corner like hitting the light switch because it's just like, what the fuck is this thing? And it's just like ghosts are actually kind of chill. They're just super confused about the world and how it's like evolved into technology. It's really funny. I'm not a comedian, so I couldn't tell a joke like that, but it's a really funny bit.
We'll get our producer to post the link to this comedy show.
Yeah, I think it might have actually been Childish Gambino for some reason. So I'll look it up. But I did get a comment on one of these posts for the Sarah Jane Bridge. And shout out Jaslyn M. J-A-S-E-L-I-N-M. And this is what she commented. Some also say they have seen her. And she said that if you drive down the road at night, you can see Sarah Jane will be standing on the side of the path. She said her friends went once and they said they saw a lady in a white nightgown walking. They went to ask if she needed a ride and she was gone.
What if you just like walked around the panhandle in like a nightgown looking all disheveled?
I mean, I've definitely seen people walking around the panhandle disheveled.
Yeah, I guess they just don't have homeless people.
That's probably it. My friend, so okay, I kind of have a story like this. I wasn't part of it, but apparently we were all at a pool party at night. I was a lifeguard at a local pool when I was in high school. So we would like host a little party afterwards when it would close. Pretty cool. But driving home from that, they said they saw this like super bright light spinning above their car in the back roads where I'm from in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And they pulled over and got out and they like looked up and it was like the spinning light above them and it just like took off.
Dude, it's gotta be a UFO.
They called me right after and they're like, what the dude? Like they were super distraught and they're like, oh my God, we just saw this like weird fucking light and it was hovering above us and it was spinning and then it just like went. And I was like, damn. Could be aliens, but it also could have totally been like a light post or something. I really want aliens, and I know this is a story about crybaby bridges, but I would love for aliens to just like show up and say something.
Alien bridges.
Anyways, so that's my bridge, the Sarah Jane. It's Sarah Jane Road, but they call it the Sarah Jane Bridge.
Greetings, dear traveler. Welcome to The Morbid Forest. Join me, Ranger Harper, every Tuesday for devilishly mature content as I take you down a path that will truly terrify. From zombies to psycho killers, nowhere is safe to hide. So don't go down the wrong path, lest you find yourself trapped within The Morbid Forest.
Well, Andreas, it's been a pretty good storytelling today between you and I.
Yeah.
I hadn't really heard about these crybaby bridges before, and you know, I'm pretty intrigued.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, structurally speaking, we should actually talk about this really briefly. I think a lot of it probably has to do with winds hitting resonant frequencies on the bridge. I know that, I don't know if you've ever biked over the Golden Gate Bridge, but when the wind is at the right speed, you're biking over and you're like at 45 degree angle because it's just blowing so hard you feel like you're going to fall over.
Well, I remember when I was there was when the wind was blowing through it so hard that it was making that weird like moaning sound and you could hear it from the
city.
Exactly. Yeah. That was crazy. When I first heard that, I was like, what is that noise? And we were in Nob Hill too.
Yeah, so if you're riding...
It sounds like a ghost.
It's pretty crazy. And so I feel like if the fog comes in at the right speed and like the temperature is right, it could lead to these moaning sounds, which would lead you to get the crybaby effect.
Right.
And so...
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I mean, you can choose whether or not you believe in ghosts or not.
Yeah, we're not here to argue that.
I think there's legitimate scientific evidence that ghosts exist. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think there's any... But there's definitely just things in this world that like you can't explain.
No, I really enjoyed this bit. It was interesting just seeing like, I don't know, where I'm from, I feel like there's a ton of these like haunting stories. Like there was a house in this old abandoned quarry that was super haunted and like people would go in and swore that they went in and it was haunted. And I don't know, I feel like I've just heard so many of these stories. So like in my hometown alone.
Yeah.
So it was interesting just seeing like literally the same story being told in a different area.
I feel like everybody growing up has to have like some spooky story in their like town.
Yeah.
Like growing up in San Jose, it was Hicks Road. Oh. It was just like this super steep, winding road. Yeah, so San Jose in the South Bay has mountains on both sides, like the east and the west side. Mm-hmm. And then there's like kind of a valley that follows going south.
Right.
But on the west side, there's these like, in the Santa Cruz Mountains, there's this road called Hicks Road. And it leads up to this old military base on Mount Eminem. And there was always rumors that there was this like albino community that lives at the top of Hicks Road and that it was like haunted. And so it was like just for whatever reason, it was a thing for like high schoolers.
Was there any albino kids in your high school?
No, I don't think I ever met any albino kids.
That would have been super unfortunate for them.
Although my wrestling coach called himself the albino rhino.
Maybe it was him.
But, yeah.
You should have gone Scooby-Doo on his ass, dude.
You followed him home. Yeah, but I did, with some of my friends, try to go up to the top of Hicks Road once, and there was a sheriff posted up, like, halfway up the road.
Oh.
And he, like, comes over, and he's, like, pointing his flashlight in there, and he's like, what are you guys doing up here? I'm like, we're just going for a drive. And he's like, you guys drinking back there? And we're like, no, even though we were, but obviously we weren't going to admit to that.
Right.
And then, yeah, he was just kind of a dick to us. He made us leave. And I was like, the fuck, it's a public road. You can't drive up
there. Yeah.
But yeah, so.
I mean, it's a cop.
That's true. But it's pretty interesting to hear about different like spooky stories from around the world and actually be able to tie them back into our podcast theme.
Yeah, and this is just like a fun little bit for us to take a break from like our normal bridges that we're going to cover. We'll get back to that next episode, but it was fun to just kind of take a different perspective of the bridges and how they can really influence a culture, right? Like people love horror stories and bridges just kind of like bring that out in people. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and if there's one thing you need to know about the Bridge Boys podcast, it's that we love to have fun.
We do love having fun.
And so to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And I can't believe that you guys have made it this far into the season. And just remember to subscribe and follow us on all of our platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify. Even though Andreas is not on the socials anymore, we still have the Bridge Boys.
Fully encourage everyone. Jared, it's been a dream.
Yeah, dude, this has been a pleasure.
I'm going to sign off with a little ghost sound. Ooh.